I'm Mike Sweeney. This is the Simplified Body Podcast.
What's going on, folks? Mike Sweeney back with yet another episode, and this one I'm driving in my car. I'm not even sure if this is legal. I'm not technically on the phone, but I am driving, so you'll probably hear some noises and stuff. Hopefully that doesn't distract, though. And what I was going to share with you today was just really talk about this low-carb stuff, because it just baffles me in the sense that literally just yesterday, I got an email from this fairly well-known fitness industry person. I won't mention any names because there's literally zero point. Obviously, I was on his email list. Got this email, and he's talking about this new approach to dieting and getting lean. And I was like, well, I'll have a look at this. I'm always curious to see what people are up to, because, obviously there are a lot of good people in the fitness industry doing a lot of good stuff. So I click the link, takes me to this other well-known fitness industry person's website, talking about this new method. And I start reading, and this, what looks like an article, but is effectively, I guess a sales letter for his ebook, opens with the paragraph of, and I quote, "Everybody knows to reduce your weight, you have to reduce your carbohydrate intake." And then he goes on to talk about how reducing your carbohydrate intake reduces insulin, and when that happens, then fat burning goes up, and blah, 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 blah. And basically kind of making out that, everybody knows that that's really the only way to get in shape. And then obviously that ties into his little ebook thing, which is all talking about carbohydrate timing, which was really funny, but at the same time, like, really infuriating. because, like, all of that, like, it's all a half-truth. And that's what I thought I would share today, just to clear that up. Like, it's all a half-truth in that, you know, 10 years ago, a lot of people thought that that was the case, right? Like, 10 years ago, there was some research coming out looking like, you know, people who go on low-carb diets, they lose weight a bit quicker, and, you know, they seem to have slightly better adherence, and, you know, all of these different things. And so back then, there were a lot of people and a growing number of people that were starting to think, oh, you know, maybe low-carb diets are better. And we had people like Mauro Di Pasquale with his anabolic diet, which was effectively a kind of cyclic ketogenic type diet, like no carbs and, you know, until on very specific days, etc. But since then, there has been so much research done around this topic, and it continues to get done. And when we look at that newer research, we find out the truth, really. And the truth is that low-carb diets don't work because of the low-carb component. They work really because, obviously, if you reduce your carbohydrate intake, you're going to eat more of something, right? And typically, you'll eat more protein. You might eat a bit more fat, but you'll also eat more protein. And obviously, we know now that protein is really good at reducing your appetite or increasing your levels of satiety. So you just naturally just eat a bit less, feel more satisfied with a bit less food, snack a bit less often, etc. So low-carb diets don't work because of the reduced carbs necessarily, but because of the increased protein. And again, that's been demonstrated in the research. The other thing that's been demonstrated, really, is that, like this guy was saying, if you reduce your carbohydrate intake, then fat burning goes up, or fat oxidation goes up. And that is technically true, right? Like, insulin has a negative influence on the process of fat burning, if you like. That's a really bad term, but I suppose everybody kind of knows-ish what that means. Lipolysis is the more technical term. And so insulin has a negative influence on that process. Now, what's also true, though, is that temporary increases in insulin, even though they have a negative influence on fat burning, actually mean nothing when we look at 24-hour fat oxidation or 24-hour energy expenditure even. Actually mean nothing. And this explains, when you think about it, this explains why professional-level bodybuilders are literally the most ripped athletes in the world, and they eat high-carb diets. Yet, the low-carb community want you to believe that you have to go low-carb if you want to get lean. And they just conveniently ignore the paradox, or supposed paradox, that is bodybuilders. And obviously, you know, when you're looking at the truth, the reality of the matter, when you're not trying to pretend like low carb is the only way, which a lot of these people are, then you see that, you know, you can understand from what I've just said why professional bodybuilders are able to do what they do. Because, like I said, those temporary increases in insulin actually have no impact across a 24-hour period. That's been demonstrated in the research as well. But again, obviously these low-carb people want to just ignore that fact and pretend like, you know, low-carb is this magical, wondrous thing. And don't get me wrong, it can work for some people, and, you know, this isn't me saying I'm not a fan of it and you should not do it, blah, 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 blah. I think, you know, if it works for you, cool. There are definitely periods in my life, periods in my week, where I'll purposefully eat less carbs, usually to make more space for other things, mostly. But that's what the research is telling us. And from my perspective, and from the perspective of anybody who's evidence-based, like, that's not really debatable, right? And then when you add in the fact that when you look at metabolic ward research comparing different diets, if you don't know what metabolic ward research is, it's literally the most controlled type of diet study ever devised. You will not get a more controlled environment than that. They basically lock individuals into a hospital ward, control everything. Sleep, food intake, etc., 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 exercise. And when they've done that, comparing low-fat to low-carb diets, so high-carb and low-carb diets, they don't really find any differences, really. They find differences in, obviously, the amount of insulin that's secreted. They find differences in, you know, if they look in at temporary sort of fat oxidation rates. But again, when they look at the 24-hour period, like across an entire day, when they look at body fat changes across a day, across a week, the differences are very, very small and literally not worth bothering about, literally not worth worrying about. If you've got no clinical reasons to be on a low-carb diet, and there are some clinical scenarios where a low-carb diet kind of makes some sort of sense, but if you've got no clinical reasons to do it, and you have no personal preference for low carb or not, you're just not bothered, then there's literally no point in worrying about, oh, I need to reduce my carbs because otherwise I won't lose weight. Oh, I need to reduce my carbs because, you know, otherwise I won't get lean, I won't get in shape, etc. That's literally worrying about minutiae, right? Like, literally, I think I used this expression on a previous episode, majoring in the minors. Right, just focusing on the tiny irrelevant details that really don't make a massive impact, like I said, unless there's some sort of a clinical situation that might change that situation. And just give you an example, like, for you know, if somebody's got IBS, for example, right, and I see a lot of people in clinic with IBS, and one of the easiest ways to get them symptom relief, believe it or not, is just to ask them to reduce their carbohydrate intake. Now, that's not because carbs cause IBS, but when you've got a dysfunctioning GI tract, one of the biggest culprits is fermentable, like foods that are fermentable. And the foods that are mostly fermentable are different types of fibers and different types of starches. And when you reduce the overall intake of those fermentable foods, then you have a reduction in symptoms. Simple as that. And this is the entire basis. It's a bit more complex than that, but that's like the entire basis of FODMAP. Because all FODMAPs are just different types of starches and sugars that are fermentable. So a low FODMAP diet is literally a low fermentable diet. So that's what I mean by, you know, clinical situations. So barring any of that, there's literally zero need, but it just infuriates me that, you know, like I said, low-carb community just continue to pretend that, you know, a low-carb diet is this magical, wondrous, you know, panacea of, you know, you reduce your carbs and everything's going to get better. And, you know, for some people that's the case, but what's annoying then is let's say if somebody struggles to stick to any type of diet, struggles to lose weight, therefore, and then they try a low-carb diet, and that's the one that fits with their lifestyle, with their personal preferences, for whatever reason, right? It just fits better for them, and it's easier to manage. So therefore, they stick to it longer, and therefore, they get results. That's completely fine. That's completely cool. I'm happy for people that happens to. What infuriates me then, though, is that those people will go online and rather than say, oh, do you know what? Like, a low-carb diet was the only diet that I could actually realistically stick to. So, yeah, like, that's why I do it. Rather than say that, which is completely fine, completely valid, they go online and they start talking about insulin and, you know, refined carbohydrates and blah, 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 and just latch on to all of these old, outdated ideas that literally have zero validity in 2017 when it comes to fat loss and weight loss. And I mention them separately because, you know, some people say weight loss when they mean fat loss, and, you know, I think everybody's obviously really talking about fat loss, but there are people who refer to it as weight loss, which is, yeah, another topic for another day. So anyway, obviously I unsubscribed from this person's email list, fairly annoyed, and just thought I would create something from this. And I think it's a good reminder if you are new to the fitness industry and considering low carb for whatever reason, now you know that, you know, it's completely fine to do if you want to do it, but it's not magical. And that if it is going to work for you, it will be because maybe it's just easier. Maybe it's because you struggle with your appetite and therefore eating more protein. It's going to make that more manageable. Or whatever the reason is. Just don't buy into the magical BS that the low-carb community are unfortunately still spouting. Other than that, that's all I've got for you today. Got any questions, let me know. I'll catch you on the next episode.